Our reading from Deuteronomy is this beautiful picture of the fruitful promised land for the children of Israel who revere God, walk in his ways and observe his commandments. After years of tramping in the heat and the dust and of the vast and dreadful wilderness, how wonderful to have a good land. A land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing flowing in the valleys and hills, all with the promise of bread for everyone, with fruit and honey and pomegranates and olive oil. However, later on, they must guard against claiming that they have done this by their own strength, as they sit in the comfort of the fine houses they've built and survey the large flocks and herds on the green and fertile hillside. But they're to remember the Lord their God, for it is he who gives them the ability to produce such wealth. This harvest festival, we remember that we are called to be guardians of God's creation. The Lord our God, who gives us the ability to produce so much wealth, not just monetary, so that many of us live in comfort and have food on our table. But what does gratitude for this abundance look like on our part? This morning we have brought gifts of food for the food bank. It would actually be more God-honouring if such rejoices were not needed, but sadly they fill a great need at present. We have a collection for Tear Fund, who provide life-saving humanitarian aid to relieve some of the most severe suffering in the world. Later in this year, we host the night shelter for the homeless guests one night a week. During September and Creation Tide, we have looked at many practical ways we can care for our planet and bring justice for the disadvantaged throughout the world. John and Kim preached powerfully on this last week. And if you've missed it, please have a look on the internet and listen. It's only by accident of birth that we live in this land of plenty. We know that enough grain is produced in the West that would provide food for the world population if it were distributed fairly. How do we help to get sufficient food to those who do not have enough to survive? How do we help farmers in these countries to farm sustainably? The increase of global warming has resulted in prolonged drought through erratic rains or flooding caused by heavy rainstorms that destroy crops. The people of India and Bangladesh are suffering unprecedented floods at present. Then again, do we support those campaigning to stop the destruction of the irreplaceable rainforest? If you have a garden, you have your own corner of Eden to cultivate so that you can ensure it supports birds, butterflies and wildlife, especially pollinating insects, by planting shrubs and flowers that are bee-friendly. We are called to be custodians of God's earth and to be wise and work with the rhythms of nature. I was delighted to hear that the Scottish Government has voted to ban fracking, which is also a triumph of public pressure. Jesus' parables can so often turn us upside down and inside out. They were meant to change the way we think and show us God's kingdom perspective. Jesus tells us of the rich man and his fertile land, which produced such an abundance of grain, enough not just for one season, but enough to make him financially secure for a lifetime. He does not consult his wife, his family, his relatives, or his neighbours about his plans, as would have been the custom in Jesus' time. He alone makes the decision. This headstrong pursuit of self-sufficiency was essentially God denying, as he planned to eat and drink and be merry for many years, rather than recognize his life and death were in God's hands. There's no mention of gratitude to God for the superabundance of his harvest or the plans to share it with others. No sense of responsibility to his community. Jesus is very very frank about his diagnosis. He does not say that the man was evil or wicked. He calls him a fool. And why does Jesus use this harsh word? As John Ortberg said, this man did not deliberately set out to neglect his wife and children. He didn't establish the goal of becoming as greedy and self-preoccupied as possible. He did not purpose in his heart to defy God or close off all compassion for the poor. He just had other things to do. He was too busy. He just devoted himself to the wrong things. The rich man assumed exclusive ownership of all his material possessions, and with it the right to keep them for his private use. Sharing his wealth never occurred to him. His wealth destroyed his capacity to maintain any abiding human relationships. He had no one with whom to share his life, and worst of all, he did not know he had a problem. He forgot that sooner or later his soul, our souls, will return to the Maker, to our Maker. Suddenly he discovered that his soul was not his, but on loan from God, who could demand the return of that loan at any time. Life is not a right, but a gift, on loan as is our wealth and possessions. The object of life, according to Jesus, is breathtakingly simple. Be rich towards God. Your life with God's help can be a source of pleasure to God, the God of the universe. You can make God smile. I will say at this point, as I prepared this talk, I had a huge ouch factor for me. It had a huge ouch factor for me. It reminded me how far short I fall from the following examples of being rich towards God, which I will give you. I had to hold these failings in one hand, but in the other, hold on to the other truth that, like each of you, I am a child of God, dearly loved, and it's only by grace I can come before God. Here are examples of being rich towards God, ways we can make God smile. Being rich towards God means growing our soul that is increasingly healthy and good through a close daily walk with God. Being rich towards God means loving and enjoying the people around you. Being rich towards God means learning about our gifts and passions and doing good work to help improve the world for all peoples. Being rich towards God means becoming generous with our possessions and our time. Being rich towards God means caring for this delicate and complex world he has created, so that all nature would flourish together with humanity. So when we're stopped in our tracks, or choked out by the beauty of God's creation, or the kindness of friends, it is this response of our soul that very often manifests itself in gratitude to God. The spontaneous dancing of children, the serene trust of a tiny baby asleep in her carry cot with everything around her is going on. Birdsong, the glimpse of a deer with her fawn, moors ablaze with yellow gorse or purple heather, that first glimpse of the sea sparkling in the sunshine as we approach the beach, the fantastic night sky away from light pollution, the sunrise and sunset skies in all their magnificence and variation. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord as we sing on Easter Sunday. So what gives you joy so that thanks and praise bubble up within you? And what cause is God calling you to take up or to concentrate your efforts on in order to share your wealth, plenty and time to bring healing to this damaged creation and justice to those who are poor or marginalised? The plight of thousands of refugees and asylum seekers is huge. Can our community offer a home and support to a refugee family? You may wish to support nature conservation, either locally or farther afield, or champion the fight against food waste or plastic pollution in our seas. Campaign for more ethical farming here and throughout the world. Join the RSPB in protecting migrating birds or endangered habitats. Remember the things that make God smile, and take time today to listen to what God is calling you to you personally. What has touched your heart, and what His will is for us as His church. Can we pray together about this? Lord God, would you give us ears to hear and clarity of vision for the task you set in each of our hearts? We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit in working on it and joy in the accomplishing of it. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.